Now we've got a YouTube tune to song to play. If you could please put it on. And this leads into what God wants to do next. Be seated if you wish. And let's just absorb the sound of this beautiful song that's going to come through now.
Moment in a beast, I worship you, I worship you, you are here, rearranging destinies, I worship you, I worship you. Turning lives around. Lift up your hands. I worship. I worship. You are here. You are working miracles. I worship. I worship. Call it we make a miracle walk from the sea and the darkness.
Hallelujah. And that is who he is. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, promise keeper. That song is a bold statement of what we believe, family, isn't it? It's a bold statement and a declaration of he who makes a way where there's no way. He that works miracles where medical science has run out of answers. He who takes promises that are absolutely impossible to fulfill and brings victory and blessing. And he who makes those promises that never, ever breaks them. We serve an incredible God, and it's not what he does, but it is who he is. He operates out of who he is. He operates out of the love for his children. That's me. That's you. And that's why he does those things. That's worth a hallelujah. That's worth a shout of praise. He does who he is. Isn't that cool? I do what I am. And so do you. And it's not always pretty, right? We do who we are. And you know, God is wanting this morning to actually demonstrate that. I know Ruth had some encouragement for people to come and receive healing, but I have a lot of words of knowledge this morning, and he wants to demonstrate those things to many of us today. And I'm going to ask you to respond quickly when you know it's your word. But the first thing I'd like to do is ask a team of prayers to come and stand along the front. And you, when you respond to a word, come to one of these people. Barbara and I forgot your name. Peter, would you go up the front, please? Barry and Diane, please. Anne, please. Joe, please. Marion, please. Ruth and Grant, please. You guys, please. If you can just make a line across the front. And anyone else that's usually on a prayer team that I can't quite see now, would you please join them? Quickly, quickly. Anyone else that's usually on a prayer team, come and join them. Leah, yes, I didn't see you. Thank you so much. That's cool. Stan and Ronnie, yes. Who else is this? Usually on our prayer teams. Where are you hiding? Chris and Gary, I think you should be up there too. Come on. Hallelujah. All right. Now I'm going to just read these words out. Don't wait for someone to pull you out of your seat. Please respond this morning to the Holy Spirit and come to one of these people and they're going to pray for you. Is that all right, team? Is that good? We're doing things a bit different today. So someone here, and if any of you have to respond, well, just go to somebody else on the team too. That's perfectly all right. Someone here, you've been brought up being told you're an idiot. And when you start to achieve something and feel good about something, the word idiot goes through your head and you never go any further. Now, I'm not asking you to do anything but stand up and walk to the front to one of these people. Someone else, don't wait. Don't wait. Just go. God is there to meet you. Someone else says, when you were fairly young, there were circumstances in your family and you had undue responsibility on you when you were really young. And God wants to minister to you and take off the weight of that responsibility where you feel now you've got to fix everything and you actually don't have to. Somebody else, you have psoriasis. Would you please come? God's going to heal you this morning. Someone else that's troubled with migraines. Migraines. You have lots of migraines and they're really debilitating. Someone else has a sore wrist. I think it's your right wrist. And I don't know what it is. It could be arthritis. It could be a result of a break or something. Someone else, you have fallen arches or arch in your foot. And you have foot pain. Fallen arches. Oh, thanks, Jack. Somebody has foot pain because you've got fallen arches. Someone else here, you have seen premature death. Or death too early in your family, and you live in a fear of dying too early, like other family member or members have. God wants to break that off you today in Jesus' name and set you free from that fear. Someone else has thyroid problems. I think you're on medication, and I believe God wants to actually heal your thyroid today. Someone else has a left kneecap that is giving them trouble. Don't have any more details, but your left kneecap is in pain. Someone else here, there's been a shame of some sort in your family. Family shame of some sort. All the family know about it, and you feel like it's a covering or a blanket over your life, and you feel like in some situations you just can't be yourself because of this shame that covers you. God wants to take that blanket off you today and set you free from it in Jesus' name. It looks like we have no spare prayers at the moment. If you're going to respond, come and sit in the front row and wait till someone's free. Somebody else has got neuralgia. That's a pain that goes from your ear kind of down into your jaw. That's really painful. It comes and goes, but you know what it is if you have that. Somebody else or people have, your eyes are really hurt and react badly to strong light. And you've either got to get away from it or put sunnies on or shut your eyes because the strong light is really troublesome and painful to you. Someone else, you get undefined rashes on your body. Been to the doctor, they've given you a few creams and things to try and deal with it, but they don't really know what it is, and it's not been dealt to yet. Jesus wants to deal to that tonight, today. Hallelujah. And then the last one. Someone has a recurring nightmare of being shut in a dark room, unable to get out. A recurring nightmare of being shut in a dark room, unable to get out. If that's you, God is going to put the light on in that room today and open the door, and you are going to get out, and that dream will not recur in Jesus' name. So if that's you, please don't come to me or anybody after if you should have responded to one of those words. There's a real anointing here for you. And if that is you online, if you're watching on our live feed today, you are so welcome to respond. The Holy Spirit is here, He's there, He's everywhere. And if that's you, you reach out to Him in Jesus' name. And I speak the name of Jesus to every person that's responded online this morning. I speak the name of Jesus and declare that that condition, that medical condition, that emotional condition, be healed and you be set free and made whole today in the name of Jesus, to rejoice and serve Him without the burden of those things. In His name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you done? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who He is. That is who He is. When the prayers are finished, you may be seated again, unless there's anyone else. Is there anyone else that should have responded? You're welcome to come now. Last call. Last call. You're welcome to come now if you should have responded. There's still space in this prayers here waiting for you if you should have responded. Come. Hallelujah. He's the miracle worker. There's miracles happening here at this altar this morning. It's people's lives being changed. Chains are falling off. Wholeness is coming. That is who He is. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. He brings freedom. He's the overcomer of the impossible. He's the deliverer. He displays integrity in that He makes a promise and He keeps it. And He is the one who makes a way where there is no way. Have you responded to one of those words this morning? Have you responded to one of those words? We'll get one of the guys to come and pray for you. Grant, are you free? Thank you. Grant will pray for you. Thank you. Hallelujah. How is this done? This is not a fairy tale. This is the reality of a Jesus Christ who died on a cross, who hung there bleeding and dying for us, who dripped out every drop of His blood from His body until only water came out. It was because of that we can do this. It was because of that we can say who You are. You are the miracle worker, the way maker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit who was promised to us. When Jesus went back to heaven, He said, I will send one who will come and bring you power. And this is that same power of the Holy Ghost that we can employ, that He's given us as a gift in this world today to do the works of Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 22, I'm going to read this morning. This is in the Passion Translation. Even though you were once distant from Him, lying in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions. He connected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Holy, flawless, and restored. Tell someone near you that they are holy, flawless, and restored. Go on, tell someone. Because you know what? We know the words, but God wants us to actually receive them and believe them in the deepest part of who we are and live out of that. Live out of that new who. Holy, flawless, and restored. Through the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Colossians 2 verse 15 says this. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Those things that have kept us prisoner, we are not, and we do not, and we will not receive and accept them. Jesus made sure that we didn't have to. He was not their prisoner. They are his prisoner. And because we are one in Jesus Christ, they are our prisoners. And today is the day when things that have held us back and had us around the neck to stop us achieving our full potential go, because Jesus Christ dealt with them on the cross. He made the way. And the cross wasn't just for us eternal life. It wasn't just for us, yeah, I'm going to heaven. So when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm not believing I'm going to hell anymore like I did once. And like I was going. That's not the only purpose of the cross. Purpose of the cross is to have relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationship with God. An ongoing knowledge and filling and experience with the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sin in an instant. Oh, darn, God. I swore again. Forgive me. Done. Finished. Never to be remembered again. The cross was to give us wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. Not too many of us walk around with the reality of that burning in us and coursing through our veins day by day. I am whole. I thought that would get a big amen. I am whole. You are whole. Declare it. I am whole. Do you believe it? I am whole. You're not just a hole in the atmosphere filling up space. You are W-H-O-L-E in your spirit, in your soul, and progressively in your body as we allow the prayer of the faithful and the name of Jesus to heal us, right? I'm getting there too. I am still getting there, just like most of us. But we're on a journey. And the grace of God is taking us because he is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. That is who he is. It's not just what he does. Amen. But that truth can get a bit buried in life. Yeah? I've had life too. 70 years of it. I know, I look so young. And I've had some tragic things happen in my life. And the truth of the goodness of God can get buried, and it's a reality that is our experience. But it's not our truth. It's not our truth. The truth is that he is the miracle worker, way maker, promise keeper. What about miracles? I'm presuming you read this book. It's called the Bible. We read it. It's our handbook for life. Miracles. We see the miracles that Jesus did and the miracles in the Old Testament littered through this book. Water turned into wine. A raging sea calmed in a word. Ruth will have some more reality on that after her seeing the raging sea just last week on their holiday when the waves were thrown up 30 meters, did you say? Feet. What do you do still talking in feet? Come on, Ruth. How many meters is that? Is there a smart person here? 10 meters. See, I'm not that smart. I didn't know. Couldn't work it out. When you see a little tiny lunch, a little boy's school picnic given to feed 5,000 plus people, Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday doing those miracles today and right off into the future until time is no more. How about young David taking down Goliath? Would you call that a miracle? He wasn't just a good shot. It was more than that. He is the miracle worker. Doing miracles that are far beyond anything that can be calculated or organized today. And Jesus, of course, opened blind eyes and healed deaf ears. And today we see miracles. We have a miracle sitting in the front row here in his lovely apricot shirt. We have a miracle here in Peter Stewart. We have miracles in many of our lives. I'm a miracle that I can stand up and preach the word of God today after some of the things that I've been through. And many of you could testify to miraculous happenings and events and recovery and restoration that God has done in your life. Who can say, I know I'm a miracle and I've had one? Look at us. Look at us. Online, can you see the number of people? Put your hands up again. Can you see the number of people that testify for the miracle working of power of God today? And if you're sitting at home and you're saying, I need a miracle. I need this or that to happen. Jesus Christ is just as near as putting your hand on your heart and telling him, this is what I need today, Jesus. He can meet you right there in your hospital bed. He can meet you right there in your lounge room, in your kitchen, driving. No, don't be watching it while you're driving the car. If you're hearing it while you're driving the car, he can be that near. And so God, if there's anyone in that position today, I pray for their miracle. Lord, whatever it is, whatever they need you to touch, touch it today. Jesus, heal, set free, restore, and be who you are to those people that are reaching out right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And so what about the promises? We sung and we say and we declare he's the promise keeper. Have you got promises? He's the promise keeper. He will not let you down. Abraham and Sarah, aged 80 and 100, had a promise. Now that is ridiculous for them to believe that they could have a child. But they had a promise and God came through with that. And maybe some of the promises that you're hanging on to are as ridiculous and impossible in the natural as theirs was. Keep hanging on. He's the promise keeper. He's the way maker. He's the one that will not fail and let us down. And then in Luke chapter 24, verse 40, we see that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to come. And we experience that today. And it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that those works of Jesus are what we see happening. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you feel you should speak to somebody about salvation and heaven and the need for Christ in their lives, the Holy Spirit is the one that inspires and empowers us and opens the ears of the hearer. It's divine. It's miraculous. And he is here with us today because that is who he is. And how about the light and the darkness? You know the story about the children of Israel going through the desert with a cloud by day and a fire by night. But if you're going through your own time of darkness, he can lead you and guide you in such a way that you cannot deny that it's the same God that led those children of Israel and got them safely to where they needed to be eventually. I can testify, I could write a book about the way that God has led me. I found myself at 60, unexpectedly single, with no home, no husband, no money. And I stand here before you today and I say, God led me as the light in my dark times. They were deep and dark and awful. But had he not done that, you wouldn't be seeing me do this now. He is the light in the darkness. And don't ever doubt, no matter how dark your darkness is, no matter how trying your situation might be, he promises he will be the light in the darkness. And if you want me, if you want to talk to me privately about how God led me after the service in the tent here, I will talk with you and tell you exactly how it works, because I'm a testimony that he is the light in the darkness. And the Holy Spirit is the one that inspires that light to show the way. You know, you might not, as I didn't, have stars or writing across the wall saying, do this or do that. But there's a still small voice. If you have your ear tuned and say, God, speak to me, he will. You'll get that sense and knowledge inside of you of this is the way to go. There's wisdom that he brings. That is wisdom that is from above that you could not even dream up how to walk through different situations. You may be get in contact with somebody or have a conversation that appears to be random, but it's not. It's that direction and that beautiful way making that God is to get us to the place where he wants us to be and where he wants to bless us. You might be reading God's word and something just shines out to you and you know that is a word of life for you. Or it could be a song you hear on the radio or sing in church or somebody's humming it as you're walking along the street. God can use anything to make a way for us. And I pray today that we will expand our sense of possibilities of how God can direct us and speak to us. How he can show us what it is that he's wanting to do to lead us and bless us. And you see, he does this all out of his who. He does it out of his who. Because we all act and live out of who we are. He is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And he will move in you, through you, on your behalf out of who he is. Isn't that cool? The God that made heaven and earth acts on my behalf because who is he? He is love. Well, that's a pretty good statement. Who is he? He is love. Personified, divine, and personal. And we act out of who we are as well. You may know people, someone, yourself, who's a broken person, and they act out of the brokenness and speak out of the brokenness, and it's very obvious that they are broken and they need God. Labels are not needed for who in ministry. We will do who we are. You can be the greatest apostle, preacher, pastor, evangelist, pope, anyone you like. But who we are is the best thing ever, a servant of the Most High God. I love it. People ask me in many places, what is your gift? And I string them along usually a little bit and go, you really want to know? Well, it's the greatest gift you could have. Jesus had this one. And you can see the cogs going. And then I tell him, my gift and my call is a servant. And it's almost sometimes like a balloon's been let down slowly. They expected something much greater than that. But that is the greatest. And we will minister and we will live out of who we are. You see, pastors don't need a label. Many of them have a label, and that's perfectly fine. But if you're a pastor in your heart, you are going to pastor. There's two people in this church who have pastored me over some difficult times, and that's Stan and Ronnie. And they don't need a label, but that's what they do. And many of your lives have been enriched by what they do. And it is such a blessing. If you are an evangelist, we've got Daz here this morning. Well, he's a bit radical, really. But we love you, Daz. And when I grow up, I'm going to be like you. But if you're an evangelist, you don't need a title. You're just going to tell people about Jesus because you don't want them to flip and go to hell. And you find ways in a conversation to ask them, do you know him? Where do you think you're going when you die? No, I'm sorry. Living a good life is just not quite enough. There was Jesus. He did it for you so you could go to heaven. And you're hoping you'll go there. But actually, unless you have an encounter with him and he is your Lord and Savior, you are not going to heaven. But the gift of God is free, and eternal life is free. And if you're in the house this morning and you do not know that you're going to heaven, I want you to hear this. If you're living a good life, that's not enough to get you to heaven. If you've been in church all your life, it's not enough to get you to heaven. But Jesus hanging on the cross with the lifeblood dripping out of him, doing it because he loves you, that is enough. And he will accept you no matter what space you're in today, no matter what your life's like, no matter what addictions you're on, no matter what substances you might be on, no matter what your marriage or your personal life is like. Jesus is waiting to welcome you into his family and give you the assurance of forgiveness and eternal life today. So if you're a prophet, you're going to have insights, and people around you are going to find that they get insights from you continually. If you have the gift or the ministry of hospitality, your life is going to be open and warm, and people are going to get warm fuzzies and want to be around you. If you're a gossip, oh, we got to the negatives. Gossips can be good for a while, but the duct tape only lasts so long, and then it's got to come off, and you've got to live out of your who. And if you're a gossip and your who, and that is your who, it's going to actually be exposed. And it's best to deal with it before it is. Is that a good idea? If the who in someone's life is a liar, that's what they're going to live out of. They're not even going to be able to lie in bed straight because they lie. So twisted. And they turn the truth into a lie. If people are dishonest, the who that they are, they won't be able to help themselves. And if people are victims and they've never found healing for the things that happened and they've adopted a victim mentality, that victim mentality is going to be the who that people see. Some of our who needs the miracle worker. Light in the darkness. Promise keeper. And the way maker. He's here for us today. He's here for us today. And you see, the who that we are is the who that appears when the light's out, when there's no one looking, when there's no applause, when there's nothing to gain, when there's no pretense to impress people. That is who we are. You see, God's who is love and miracles. But our who can be marred. But the good news is Jesus Christ is the one
that came, that took all our suffering and all our imperfections on the cross, and he can make it a reality even today. If you're getting some indication that God wants to touch who you are and the deepest part of you. There was a leper that Jesus met. He had no name. He had no name. And a leper came to Jesus and he said, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I'm willing. But the journey into that statement of, if you're willing, was a huge journey. He was outside the city. He had to be 50 paces away from anybody so he didn't contaminate them. And he walked those 50 paces. Can you imagine his thought process? Walking, thinking, what will happen? I've heard this man can heal. What will happen to me? Will they stone me on the way? Will somebody grab me and drag me back to my place of isolation? How's it going to be? Walking 50 paces closer to Jesus than he ever should have. And he got up to the master and he said, if you're willing, you can heal me. He should have stayed away. But he recognized that his who needed an encounter with the miracle worker and the way maker. And as Jesus reached out to him and healed him, he wasn't contaminated. But all of his unwholeness was made whole by Jesus Christ. It was swallowed up by that love that Jesus is. That same Jesus is here. So he made a way with water from the rock through the Red Sea. Rahab the harlot and her household were saved. That never should have happened. He calmed the storm. Talking about Jesus here. Spoke to it. Got the disciples in a place of turmoil so they would know their need for peace. He healed the blind, healed the deaf.
He's the light in the darkness. John 8 verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Follow me and you will never walk in darkness. It's a guy in the Bible called Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, Zacchaeus. I will paraphrase this. It'll be the Passion Colleen paraphrase as we go through it. So there was a wealthy guy named Zacchaeus in the city of Jericho, and he was the chief tax collector. Jesus went through the city. I will actually read it. Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. In the New International Version, it says he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see who Jesus was. More than see what he did. He kept trying to get a look at him, but the crowd was massive and he was very short and he couldn't see over the heads of the people. He ran on ahead of everyone and climbed up a blossoming fig tree so he could get a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by. When Jesus got to that place, he looked into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I am appointed to stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus got down out of the tree and came face to face with Jesus. And as he left to go, many in the crowd complained, look at this, all the people to have dinner with. Oh, how like us. Look at this, of all the people for them to go out for dinner with. And they went with a sinner. How dare him. He's going to eat at the house of a crook. Zacchaeus joyfully welcomed Jesus and was amazed over his gracious visit to his home. He stood in front of the Lord and he said, half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. And Lord, if I have cheated anyone, I promise to pay back four times as much as I stole. And Jesus said to him, this shows that today life has come to you and your household. For you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to give life to those who are lost. And if you look at that story in the NIV translation and see that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. In going after who he was. In paying the price and the ridicule, climbing the tree in his dress. That wouldn't have been very comfortable. To see who Jesus was. To try and hide, but knowing that when Jesus stood below that tree and looked up, that the all-seeing, fiery eyes of the waymaker, the miracle worker, were looking at him and he couldn't escape. To go through all of that and then humiliate himself and come down. And then humble himself at home and say, if I have stolen anything, I will return 4 times more. Which was, incidentally, the maximum that anyone had to pay back for wrongdoing in those days. And he took Jesus home. But in searching out Jesus who, he found his own identity. It says here at the end of that story, this shows that today life has come to you and your household, for you are a true son of Abraham. My friends, we must know who God is. Because in embracing who he is, in his way making, miracle working, promise keeping, light in the darkness qualities, and knowing his qualities of love and knowing his qualities of forgiveness and gentleness and kindness and care and every other blessed thing that's in the dictionary and the Bible about who Jesus is, we will know our true identity just as Zacchaeus did. It will be revealed to us. And I'm not fooled by standing in a pulpit anywhere with 10 people or 10,000 in front of me thinking that the nice clothes and the lipstick and the hairdos and the decent appearance is how it really is on the inside. Because I know that I sat in church for years, broken beyond what I could imagine, but the outside looked okay. The who of God, the way maker, to make a way for you in whatever situation you're in. The miracle worker to work and do something that there's no way you could organize your way out of or into. The one that has made promises and will make promises and has made precious promises to you. And the one who is the light in the darkness is waiting for us today. Could we please play that clip again of Waymaker? Thank you. And while we play this clip again, I just encourage us to meditate for a few minutes. What part of my who do I need to submit to Jesus? Do I need to have healed by him? Do I need to confess as sin? Or do I need to surrender completely if I am not walking in a real and life-giving and honest relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord? We're going to play this in a moment. When you're ready. Thank you. Let me ask you just to meditate on this for a moment. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Rearranging destinies. A little more volume, please. Thank you. It's good.
Turning lives around. Lift up your hands.
I worship. I worship.
You are here. You are working miracles. I worship.
Don't stop, just quiet. As this just plays quietly, if you feel like the Holy Spirit has moved on your heart today and you need to surrender something to the Lord, I invite you just to come and make this an altar at the front here and have an intimate time with the King of Kings. Have a time of surrender. Have a time of laying down. Have a time of coming to a new place of desiring who He is. So we'll just continue to play this gently for another 3 or 4 minutes. And if you want to respond and come and just make this an altar as a place of surrender, as a place of fresh encounter with this God that is the God of miracles, please come. And if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not taken the opportunity to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. If I died today, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. You can have that as certainty this very morning to know that you are born again. You are saved. You are going to be in heaven when you do go. And you're going to be, you have the opportunity to be forgiven of your sins, to live a life of peace instead of the turmoil that you have lived in the past. If anybody wants to give their hearts to Jesus this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for ones that have a hunger beginning to stir afresh, that they would know who you are. And we just hold you up again today, Lord, as the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the light in the darkness. And as this year progresses from this point on 12 January, Lord, may that increasingly be increasingly so for all of us. Lord, I thank you that you're faithful and you're constant and you never change. And Lord, as this year goes by, we're looking to you to be in that place where, as we know, your who, it absorbs more and more of who we are, and we become more and more into your likeness. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, and let's give God a great big God bless today as we leave.